Tonight, a special encore edition of 7 Second Delay. And by special, what I mean exactly is that it's a rerun, but it's never before been rerun. Or maybe it has. I'm not a completist. I am not a 7 Second Delay completist. I am merely a participant. Tonight's program comes to you in glorious real audio. It was originally broadcast on January 17th, 2001. And the topic, other than the recent earthquake on the Upper East Side of New York City, is doing impressions of your parents. Here then is the 7 Second Delay episode from January 17th, 2001.
You want
How come you and I never have a play date?
We should make play dates. We should have our moms call each other. You want some gum?
No, thanks. No, I'm trying to quit.
It's good. So you were telling me you felt the earthquake.
I did feel the earthquake. It's the second earthquake I've felt.
Oh, tell me about them both. No. Start with the first one.
No, I don't want to tell you. You don't deserve it. You get one of your Hollywood cronies to tell you a real California earthquake story. My New Jersey earthquake stories, I'm sure, will bore the hell out of you.
But the odds are better than average that it will be an interesting story.
No. You don't want to hear it.
Were you at home?
I'm not saying where I was. This is a trap.
I'm going to assume you were home. I'm going to assume you were in the shower. Lost your balance.
No, I was not in the shower. I was in my record
room. I don't care. Okay, let's get started. No, I'm sorry. You were in your record?
You did not feel the earthquake, I take it. Because you were fast asleep. It was so early in the morning.
I live a little further from the epicenter.
7:30.
Yeah, it's the middle of the night. Hey, when was the last time you said the word epicenter out loud? It's fun. Say it.
Epicenter.
It's not as much fun as I thought.
No.
I tricked you. It's not fun at all.
Where was the epicenter?
Upper East Side. Isn't that weird?
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that the weirdest? To hear that's the epicenter of an earthquake?
Wow.
What if it was like a 5-point something? Would like buildings have toppled?
I don't know. Why don't we call an earthquake expert?
You know what I wish I was doing when the earthquake hit? Bowling.
My house creaked.
Get a couple of those. Get that spare. I'm sorry. You were saying your house creaked? Come on, tell me about the creak.
No, Carlos said that.
You're scared to tell me any little stories. I'm just scared. You won't even begin an anecdote.
If you ask me for
I have a co-host who's scared to share anecdotes with me.
No, I'm only scared to share anecdotes if you invite them. If you want anecdotes,
Seriously, where were you when the earthquake hit?
No,
you
didn't hear what I just said.
I swear on my children's eyes.
You don't understand.
My three blind children tricked you.
If you ask me for an anecdote, I am not going to tell you.
Why?
Because I know as soon as I start telling you, you're going to say, I don't care.
Why do I do that? Okay, seriously, no joking around. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
I don't care. I swear on the lives of my darling wife, I will not interrupt your little earthquake story.
On how many lives of your darling wife?
Well, she's on her fourth. Okay. So the remaining five. You were in your office. You were being very quiet because it was early.
Yes, that's correct. Why don't we just do this like I'm on the stand.
Okay.
And you're the lawyer. You questioned me.
Okay. And then you felt did you know what it was right away, Mr. Friedman?
No, I did not realize it was an earthquake at the time.
What did you think it might be when the house started rattling?
I thought it was a large truck going down the street because I felt the house vibrate and things in my office shake at the same time that a car went down the street.
Did it shake enough so that ripples would appear in a cup of coffee?
Absolutely.
Did it shake enough that pens would roll off a desk?
No.
It was somewhere between the pen rolling and the ripple in the coffee?
Yes.
No further questions.
See, that's good. That worked out.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you see what I'm up against here. The man is clearly a pedophile. All right. Well, I don't know how to segue into... I didn't feel the earthquake, but I felt one in California once during a meeting.
A real one, huh?
Well, it was exactly as you described. It was kind of a little vibration. In fact, if somebody hadn't pointed it out, I probably would not have known what it was.
Yeah, I don't care. I just have to learn how to say that.
I know. I think you do care. I was in California. We were on like the 18th floor.
I don't care. And we have a show to do.
Well, let me finish here. Meeting with Mr. Carl Reiner.
Is that who you were meeting with?
Oh, you care? Caught you. No, it wasn't. I caught you, Karen. You cared for a second. I win.
I cared when you were lying.
You showed a moment of sincerity. I win. All right.
Who were you really meeting with? You were meeting with Bud Cort, weren't you?
Bud Cort's a great guy. He's just a regular guy. Puts his pants on one leg at a time.
But he's no Carl Reiner.
He's no Carl Reiner, who I have met with, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're lying about it now.
By meeting, I mean I saw him in a parking lot as my plane landed. All right. We're rolling. Hey, we have a great idea for a show.
We do.
Caught you again. The idea sucked. But now you're committed to it. All right, here's the idea. You know what I realized today? My wife had a friend over, and we realized that we all could do impressions of our parents. I think everyone can do impressions of their parents. So we're going to invite people to call us up, people that can do a dead-on, drop-dead impression of their mom or dad. Call us up at 201-200-9368, and we're going to ask you to prove that you can do a good impression of your parents. And here's how. We're going to invite you to call. Let me see. How do we do this? While you're on the air, we will call one of your siblings, and we will introduce you as your parent on some pretext. We will say, Linda, we have your dad, Carl, on the phone, and you will come on the phone as dad, and we will start a timer and see how long you could fool your sister or brother. So we're looking for someone to get the ball rolling. We're at 201-200-9368.
You know what we should do?
Did I describe that well?
You did. Did great.
No. Okay, now explain to me why there's no one calling.
Because we don't give the first caller a prize.
Should we give the first caller a prize?
I think that when we have a difficult concept like this, we need to give some kind of incentive to the person who really gets the ball rolling.
Why don't you call your sister?
Don't want to do that.
Should I call my sister and pretend to be dad?
Your dad's dead.
Yeah, my dad died, so it would be, I'd have to, hey, Stork, hey, you going to come to the big movie shoot on Sunday?
I'll be there, buddy.
Okay, great.
I'm bringing my head.
Bring your head.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right, because, yeah, you're in a big special effects shot. And then when people buy the DVD and they see the director's cut, we'll explain how this trick photography was done. So if I called my sister, that would be, I'd have to not only convince her I was dad, but convince her that I had faked my own death 18 years ago.
Yeah, you'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Honey, I was in some sort of insurance jam. I owed a lot of money to the mob. Had to go undercover. She'd have a lot of questions.
I hope she's gullible.
I don't even remember what he sounds like. I could do Mickey Mouse. Maybe he used to speak like Mickey Mouse. Hi, honey. It's your dad. I've been in Cancun. Yeah, that probably wouldn't work. All right, 201-200-9368. We need someone to kick us off. The first call. Hey, oh, my God. What? This is not it? Who is it? You can speak.
Somebody called who said, beware of caller IDs.
No, it's okay. We're safe because the call will originate from here, and we are going to introduce ourselves as a radio show.
Right.
A radio show that reunites parents and kids, or What will the radio show be called? Our phony radio show.
Family Reunion.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Family Affair.
Hi, welcome to Family Affair. That's pretty good. How about Pride and Joy?
Pride and Joy, that's good.
It is?
Yeah.
Where parents get to brag about their kids. Okay. So, yeah, we're covered. Don't worry about Ken and I coming up with a good lie. That's our strength.
Right. We'll call your brother or sister, and we'll say, hi, you're on the air.
With your dad or mom.
With your dad, and we'll say your dad's name, and we're on Pride and Joy here at WFMU. And your dad has some great news for you.
Or your dad's been bragging about you. Congratulations on your promotion. And then you'll come on as dad.
Right, and we will time it and see how long you can go before your brother or sister realizes that it's not really
right.
Dad.
So here's the premise. In a nutshell, boil down to this. I'm going to boil it down to one word.
I don't think you can do it.
Serendipity. Okay, I need more than one word.
Strategery.
Strategery. Oh, yeah, that's from the SNL. Everyone thinks they can do a pretty good, pretty fair imitation of their mom or dad. We're asking you to prove it by fooling one of your siblings. We're at 201-200-9368. Come on, call your sister, Ken. You think if you called your sister, you can convince her you were dad?
No.
Wait, last week, didn't I call my wife like 2 weeks in a row?
Well, your wife...
Oh, no, my mother-in-law.
It's the opposite. Your wife has... Yeah, you did call your mother-in-law.
Oh, my God, I've been sacrificing my family left and right for this show. Come on, call your sister.
I won't be able to fool her.
Could you go 10 seconds?
No, I don't think so.
You say that your dad has a distinctive voice clearing. There, is that your dad?
Yeah.
And then how does he sound? Does he have your voice?
No, he doesn't have my... We don't have the same voice.
So you'd have to...
We have the same manner... But not the same voice.
Ask me how I've been doing in your dad, as if you were your dad. I've met your dad, haven't I?
Okay, here. Andy.
Yay, Mr. Friedman. Yes, sir.
This is your old man calling.
Ha, Dad, hey, what's up? I'm surprised to hear from you.
Andy.
Come on, let's call your sister.
He's very slow on the update.
Let's call your sister. What's your sister's name?
I'm not telling.
Is it Dinah? Is it Dinah?
How do you know?
Okay. Come on, let's call Dinah.
No, let's not call Dinah.
And don't you have a brother that you're bitterly jealous of, your successful writer brother?
Yes.
Let's call him. If you could stand talking to him, he's so successful. I mean, I know he makes your life seem kind of pathetic.
No, I don't have either of their numbers on me.
What a liar. 201-200-9368. You don't know your sister's phone number off the top of your head?
I don't know either of their phone numbers.
You have 1,000 phone numbers in your head. You're amazing.
Yes.
With numbers and addresses.
That's true.
You don't know your sister's phone number?
No. I don't. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We communicate by email. My family is connected.
I communicate with my family mostly telepathically. I was talking to my brother on the way over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hit a deer with his car.
Was he receiving you?
Oh, yeah.
I think you were just sending him thoughts. I don't think he was necessarily receiving them.
Oh, yeah. We were chatting away. Oh, he makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. Then he told me to kill some guy.
Next time you have a telepathic conversation with your brother, when it's done, call him up on the telephone to confirm that he received the message.
Well, I'm not made of money. The one good thing about telepathy is how cheap it is. 201-200-9368. I don't know why he wanted me to kill that meter man.
Well, you know, you get what you pay for.
You make me laugh. Okay, so this is as bad as it gets.
Well, this is it's a good idea, but it's a difficult idea.
Okay, do you know what will kick us? Do you know what would help a great deal right now?
Offering $20 to the first person who does this.
Calling your sister.
I don't have her number. And I don't
might we find her
I
number?
Don't do a good enough imitation of my dad.
But then people would at least get the idea. You would go, could you go 10 seconds with your sister on the phone?
She would probably not hang up because she would recognize it was me.
But as soon as she said Ken, then it's over. Could you go 10 seconds before she said Ken?
See, the other problem is that we have to tell her she's on the air. See, that's the problem. I can't call my sister.
I would call her and say, hi, you're on the air with... I know, but I would say, hey, guess who's hosting? Guess who's guest hosting on the show today? Your dad.
She knows you.
Right. I would say it's Andy, and my special guest host today is your dad. Is Ken could make it. He sent his dad.
That's a red flag. She will be suspicious right away.
Fine. Then let's not call her. This is much better than not calling her. Fine.
All right. You want me to get her number?
Yes.
From information?
Yes. Duh. Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay. You have to sing show tunes while I get her number from information.
No problem. Okay. Hand me down that can of beans. Hand me down that can of beans. Hand me down that can of beans. I'm throwing them away. Out the window go the beans. Out the window go the beans. Out the window go the beans. I had a lucky day. Mary, oh, Mary, oh, Mary, we're going out this evening. Mary, oh, Mary, I had a lucky day. Hand me down that can of beans. Hand me down that can of beans. Hand me down that can of beans. Can of beans. Can of beans. Good luck is here to stay. That was Can of Beans from Paint Your Wagon, Lerner and Lowe.
Fantastic.
Now, that's not only one of my favorite old songs. That is, as I think I've mentioned here before, what I plan to do if I ever win the Academy Award. I will bound up to the podium, grab the statuette, hold it high, and sing... Hand me down that can of beans. And then just leave the podium. That's my plan.
Well, you hang on to that plan. you and that plan will keep each other company for a long time.
It will be the most memorable award speech they've ever had. I will be known as that jerk no one will ever hire again. That's how I'll be known. No, seriously, when will I win that Oscar?
I don't know. Maybe after your next movie.
Yeah, maybe Rat Race will win an Oscar for best original screenplay. Yeah, right, Ken. Okay, let's call your sister Dinah.
It's unlisted.
Oh, that's not true. Is it?
We don't want to call her. Believe me.
Is anyone else calling?
No.
Let's call Little Toot. Little Toot!
Who is Little Toot? It's not Carlo.
Yeah.
You're calling Carlo Little Toot now?
Isn't that his nickname?
Come on, just offer $20 to the first person who will call and imitate their mom or dad.
What are you?
Okay.
You'll offer $20 out of your pocket.
If they will also give us...
No, why don't we do this?
The phone number of their brother or sister. They've got to do the whole nine
yards. I will offer $40 cash. Well, not cash. I will write a check for $40. And haven't I always written these checks?
You do. You write them on the spot.
That's right. I will offer $40. If anybody can... Well, see, I don't want to offer money, though, because then... Okay, if anyone goes like a minute, do you want to put it like that?
Sure. That sounds good.
If you can fool your sister for 1 minute.
But we know how to smell a rat.
Yeah. Hold on.
You pick it up by its tail.
Gotcha.
Right, that way it can't bite you.
Yeah, don't try to fool us. Because we're on to you, pal.
Smell it, like, you know, close to its hindquarters.
That's how you smell a rat?
Yeah. That's the accepted methodology. I'm sorry, Andy.
Okay, I've offered money, $40 cash. If anyone can go 1 minute... Posing as your parents, posing as your mom or dad, and fool your siblings.
Fool your brother or sister.
201-200.
Or your spouse. Right?
You mean, it's your in-law calling? It's your father-in-law calling?
No, I mean, you could also call your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend.
But and pose as?
As mom or dad.
But it would be their mother-in-law.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The phone number here.
Well, is that as good? Is that as good a test?
Are you getting picky now?
It's 21 minutes after 6. We haven't had a single call, and you're getting picky?
I'm not worried. You know why?
Why?
We still haven't heard your earthquake story. Oh, wait. Yes,
no,
we have.
No, we did. You got it out of me.
We still haven't heard earthquake story number 1. We only heard number 2. Save it! Don't say a word! In case of fire, we will break that glass.
Do you remember the time we were on the phone with somebody from California and an earthquake hit while we were talking to them?
No. Oh. Never happened.
It did happen. It happened.
Not on this show.
It happened on this program. This very program.
You mean we've had highlights?
Yeah, that was a highlight. That was a good show.
What was the topic that show?
That was the a two-parter where we were translating a
We were playing telephone.
We were translating a personal ad from the Village Voice from one language to another to another. And
it was a two-parter.
For some reason, I think at one point we had the AT&T translator on the phone with us, and he was in California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden he said, whoa, there's an earthquake here.
Whoa, that must have been cool.
Yep.
I wish now I had paid attention. 201-200-9368.
And Andy is offering to pay $40 to you if you can call us at 201-200-9368.
Why don't we imitate
your mother or your father, and then together we will all call either your brother or your sister or your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, and you imitate your mother or father. If you can keep them going for a minute, Andy pays you $40. It's like the talented Mr. Ripley.
Hey, my optometrist doesn't know very much about me or my family history.
Uh-huh.
I could call him and pretend I'm my father.
No,
fool him for like 60 seconds.
What's the challenge there? He doesn't know what your father sounds like. He doesn't even know that your father's dead.
Oh yeah. By the way, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, my father's dead. Is your father dead?
No, my father's very much alive.
Damn.
But my mother's dead.
All right. It's a draw then. It's a wash. We have battled to a draw.
I think my mother being dead is worth more points than your father being dead.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Was she wonderful?
Yeah, she was. She was a wonderful mom. I lost her at a tender age.
I loved my dad too, but I never saw him naked.
Yeah.
So I don't know how great a dad he was.
So I win.
You win. You
win. Yes!
Yeah, you win.
I'm going to win this show.
Has your...
I can tell.
Does your mom come back and talk to you as a ghost?
Yes.
I get that too. Yeah. I got that like this morning. Avenge me!
My mom does not say avenge me.
I get that from my dad all the time.
Your dad...
Avenge me! Dad, I'm trying to eat breakfast. Avenge me!
Does your dad, did he look like Harry Dean Stanton?
Does your dad look like Harry Dean Stanton?
No.
No.
I just picture anybody saying avenge me has to look like Harry Dean Stanton.
And then, you know, when I ask him, who should I go after? He doesn't really have an answer.
Well, I think your dad.
He changes the subject. Avenge you for what? Then he pretends, how about those giants? You know, he always changes the subject.
Yeah, because he died of natural causes.
I know.
Didn't he die peacefully in his sleep? What is he talking about with this avenge me?
I think he's just dramatic. I'm a ghost. I have to be dramatic. 201-200-9368.
He saw Red Dawn. That was the movie that I was thinking of.
Red Dawn?
Yeah, the movie Red Dawn.
I don't even remember that one.
John Milius had Harry Dean Stanton standing inside a concentration camp. The commies locked up all the Americans.
And he said, avenge me?
And he's screaming. He's screaming, avenge me.
No, avenge me is from Hamlet. It's the ghost.
Oh, you think Shakespeare invented everything? Is it possible? Is it possible
that Harry Dean Stanton ripped off Harry Dean Stanton? Yeah, it's possible.
It's out of the question. That's what you're telling me.
Wait, does Carlo really have a phone call?
Yeah.
Is this going to happen?
It would appear that he is on the phone.
Carlo, hey boy, is that a personal call?
No, it's not a personal call. He's actually screening a call.
You go, little toot. Hey, Carl's going to have a big part in our movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Which will be a big premium.
Our movie.
Come marathon.
Just as long as it looks like a 15-year-old made it. Don't forget, it has to look at least like a high school student film.
That's my promise to you.
Okay.
Oh, now Carlo, now what's Carlo doing? He's just babbling
on.
He's
just making small talk. He's lonely in there.
Yeah, he's lonely in there, but when he goes home, he's not lonely at all.
I told you that, you know.
Are we going to lose this guy?
If we could turn the light on in that closet that he's in, you know, at least he could read.
Yeah.
Look at his girly magazines or
something.
He has
nothing to complain about. We made air holes. He can breathe.
He hung up on that guy.
He did?
Yeah.
Carlo, did we lose that guy?
We lost that guy.
You got to reel those guys in carefully, Carlo. They're like big fish.
We're going for the record.
Yeah, no calls.
No calls. Our record is 42 minutes.
Let's call your sister.
No.
Come on, and I will say, what's your dad's first name?
Believe me.
What is your dad's first name?
Dave.
I'm here with your dad. He's filling in for Ken, who wasn't feeling well. And your dad was just...
Just trust me. You don't want us to call my sister.
Wait, haven't we talked to my sister?
I believe we have. Let's call your sister.
No, I can't. My dad's dead. That takes really a lot of convincing.
How about your
mom?
She'd
have to be so drunk.
You did a great imitation of your mom on the phone earlier today.
I can do my mom's laugh.
Go ahead, do it.
No, it bothers me so much, even when I do it.
Oh. It's a good thing we did a good show last week.
Can we rerun it?
I would have to go upstairs and get it.
Go ahead. I know every verse of Hand Me Down That Can of Beans. My Academy Award speech.
You know, the idea of tonight's show, it was not my idea.
Yeah, of course.
But I thought,
of course not.
I thought it was a good idea.
Okay. Let's review. I'm offering $50 cash to anyone who could fool their brother or sister into thinking that you are dad or mom.
Most people sound more like their parents than they even think they do.
Everyone, I thought, can do an impression of their parents. No one's trying. This is okay. I'm just going to have to just start begging and weeping. I have so little. I look forward to the show all week. Isn't that sad? I really do.
Me too.
That's sadder.
That's sadder than you looking forward to it.
I have so little. I just don't want this to be a complete bust.
You don't even have your folk singing career anymore.
Thanks. Thank you, Ken. And my father, how's he doing?
He's dead.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. Thanks, buddy. 201-200-9368.
When was the last time the ghost of your father came to ask for you to avenge him?
This morning at breakfast.
Oh, this morning. I was going to say that you don't even get visits from your father's ghost anymore.
No, he comes all the time.
Well, don't take those for granted.
Although now I'm thinking it might be my neighbor, Mr. Corcoran. Because he looks just like my neighbor.
Does he actually eat stuff?
Yes.
Okay, and when Mr. Corcoran,
what are you doing here? I am not Mr. Corcoran. I am your father, the ghost of your father. No, any syrup for these pancakes?
Here's the test.
Yeah.
When either the ghost of your father or Mr. Corcoran eats stuff, can you see it inside of his stomach?
No.
Then it's not the ghost of your father, it's Mr. Corcoran.
He's been having breakfast every day for the last 5 years. Why? I think you're right. It's not my father. I am so gullible. No, he told me he took on the image of Mr. Corcoran so I wouldn't be startled. Oh, but now that I'm playing it all back in my head, yes, that explains so much. What would my father need cab fare for every morning? Did we do the Mr. Corcoran father bit?
We're still doing it.
How's it working?
We're in the midst of it. It's killing. We're only 10 minutes away from our all-time record.
Of no call.
Of not having calls. In fact, I would say this is number two.
All right, then.
We're already into the second half hour of the show. Basically, nothing but foreplay. Nothing but foreplay and begging.
Begging and weeping and whining. Do you have that feeling in the bottom of your stomach? That churning, knotty feeling?
No.
I do. Is there any way we can blame Carlo for this?
Yeah. People are calling up and Carlo's turning him away because they're not on topic. I just overheard. I just overheard that. He's not.
Okay, let's review. We are looking for, we went into this assuming that everyone can do a half-decent impression of their mom or dad.
At least part of what they do. I mean, you know, I can clear my throat exactly like my father.
Well, you're a bad example because you won't do it. You won't put it to the test.
That's because my sister.
All right.
We're just going to get her answering machine anyway. I guarantee it.
I am offering $50 if you can fool your brother or sister, fool a sibling into thinking dad is on the phone.
Or mom
for 60 seconds. And we are at 201-200-9368.
Eight. The first earthquake I ever experienced was 1983 and 1984. And if I recall correctly, the epicenter, Andy, by the way, the epicenter, that's where the earthquake originates from.
Yeah. I know. Go ahead. Where were you?
No, this is worse. You're supposed to say, I don't care. Don't you see? I'm trying to be boring.
I don't even care enough to not care.
Well, guess what's happening now?
What?
The phone banks are lighting up because of my earthquake story.
I don't care.
People are trying to put an end to it.
Listen, is anybody using that corner over there, the corner of the studio? I would very much like to curl up in it and pray for death.
You know what? I'm bypassing the boy.
Oh, good. Yeah. Do that. Yeah, put it on the phone.
We can't go through. We can't break our record of 42 minutes without a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, can you do an impression of your dad or mom? Hi, you love.
They're not talking.
Hi, you love you. You love the show.
Yes, I do.
Oh no, this is a kid. What are we doing?
What's your name?
I think you know me. My name is Shane.
Okay, we need to go. Okay, you flirt with this kid.
What's your name? Shane? What's your name, Shane?
No, Jake.
Jake.
Jake. Hi, Jake.
Do you know Jake?
I do know Jake, and you know Jake, too.
I don't know.
Jake, can you imitate your dad? Can you sound just like him?
Hi, Sonny. How are you doing?
I know his dad. That's a really good imitation.
Is his dad retarded?
No, his dad's not retarded.
201-200-9368. Okay, it's great to have a kid on the phone.
Jake, that's a great imitation of your dad. Thanks for demonstrating the idea. Is there somebody that you know that we can call who you think you might be able to convince that you're really your dad?
Max. My friend.
His friend.
Yeah. We were hoping that it could be a family member.
I was hoping we would not be doing Romper Room.
No. Okay, wait. Here's my dad.
Now maybe dad can has a sibling.
Could be.
Do you know this guy?
Yes, I do.
What's his name?
Adam.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Oh.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, yeah. Adam. How are you?
Hi, Andy. We have no siblings, and Jake wanted to do this with his friend.
Well, we appreciate it because it was getting pretty sad.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Yeah, okay. But Jake actually did a really good imitation of you.
Oh, yep. You think so?
Yeah.
Generic dad?
Yeah, it was more than generic. It was pretty good. Now, you don't have a brother or sister that we could call?
I have brothers.
Could you do an impression? Is your dad alive?
Yeah, but he has sort of a foreign accent.
Well, can you do an impression of him?
Hello, my darling. Something like that.
Would you think you'd be able to fool your brother?
I thought you guys were going to pretend.
No! Oh, maybe I didn't explain. No!
No, we thought that you were...
No. It's you. You would be on the phone trying to fool your own brother.
Oh.
Do you think you're that good?
No, they always know my voice.
Even if you were really, really, why don't you be your dad with a cold or something? Would that work? Why don't you be your dad who's been robbed and has duct tape? covering his mouth.
Well, I could pretend to be him, and then what am I supposed to? I thought just, you said
no. The deal is you. It's sibling trying to fool sibling. You would be on the phone with your brother or sister, and we would be starting a clock. You could walk away with $50 American. If you want to give it a try. Do we have anyone? Hold on. Do we have anyone else?
Okay. No, we have no one else.
Okay, so Adam says all right.
Adam's going to have to call back and speak to Carlo.
Why can't he just give the phone number?
Unless he wants to give the phone number out over the air.
What does he care? Who's listening?
I'll give my brother's work number.
Yeah. Who's listening? Who cares?
Okay.
Go ahead.
He may not be there, though.
Oh, he's there. If there's a God in heaven, he's there. What's his name?
I got to find it. Jason.
Okay.
Okay, 718-982-2517.
Okay. Great. His name is Jason, and the last name, of course, is?
Simon.
Jason Simon. And Jess, why would your dad be bragging about Jason? We're going to pretend that we're on a radio show where dads are bragging about their sons.
Oh, he has to brag about him?
Well, just something about Jason that would justify a phone call from your dad.
Oh, I was just going to tell him that he left something at his house.
No, because we have to introduce you, because we have to identify him. Legally, we have to say we're on a radio show.
Oh.
Yeah.
So your dad?
Jason might know our show also.
Yeah, he
does.
That's
all right.
Well, that's okay.
Why would your dad be bragging about Jason? Just give us one little thing. A new job, a new baby?
Building a house.
Oh, he's building a house. He's a contractor.
No, he's building his own house.
Oh, building a house. Fantastic. So we're on our way. And what's your dad's first name?
Morris.
Okay, let's try it. Hey, you really would get $50 if you could go 60 seconds.
Now, this is his work number, and he's not always there.
He's there.
I don't know.
Heavenly Father, please have Jason staying late at work. He has a porn up on the internet. He's there. Are you dialing, Ken?
I am.
Dial like the wind. Press each number down firmly. Okay, Jason Simon. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you as Morris, okay? Are you ready, Adam? We're going to start a clock. If you go 60 seconds without your brother knowing it's you. If Jason knows our show, he'll know that our show is not called Pride and Joy.
Try to disguise your voice.
Call is being answered by Audix.
Oh, it's
Jason Simon.
He's not available. Oh, well.
He's not there.
He's not there.
That's okay, Adam. Thanks for demonstrating the concept. Thanks to Jake.
Yeah, thanks to little Jake.
All right.
Do you know what's sad about that
love
call?
The show.
Yeah, Fry, yeah.
Thanks.
I don't love it so much. You know what's sad about the call? That was the high point of our show.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think this show is failing? You go first.
Probably for the same reason I don't want to call my sister. And it's really hard to put my finger on exactly why that is.
Okay.
I guess it's because people don't want to make phony phone calls to their brothers and sisters. Now, why would that be?
I don't know.
Why would grown men and women not want to make a phony phone call to their own brothers and sisters?
I don't know.
I can't imagine why.
Maybe they're mature. Maybe they're adults.
I can't register that.
You know what I think the fatal flaw in this show is?
What?
You. But I don't quite know why. I haven't put the whole case together yet. It's not quite ready to bring to the DA.
Okay. How about this? How about for the last 20 minutes of the show, you're on your own.
No!
We take out the fatal flaw. We remove me from the equation. I won't say a word.
You'll just do the board.
I'll just operate the controls.
You will not say a word.
I will not say a word.
I bet I can make you talk.
Bet you can.
I bet me and the listeners can make you talk.
I'd like to see you try.
Okay. Hey, fans. We're at 201-200-9368. If you think you can make Ken talk, if you can provoke him into responding, give us a call. 201-200-9368. Anyone that's listened to the station or has worked with Ken, worked for Ken, anyone that knows Ken socially, anyone that has pledged money to the station and is unhappy with their marathon gifts. Anyone that has any complaint whatsoever, 201-200-9368. He's the station manager here, and he's claiming he will not talk. The mic is next to his face. I don't know why that would be. Your mic is still on. Your mic is still live. I hear you sighing. He has taken a vow of silence. He's thinking I can't be entertaining if I just am talking on my own. He's thinking I'll run out of things to talk about and say. He's thinking I'll run out of things to talk about and say. He's thinking I'll run out of things to talk about and say. I know what he's thinking. He's thinking it won't be long before I run out of things to talk about and say. It's as if I could read his mind. Andy is bound to run out of things to say and talk about. That's what he's thinking. We're 201-200-9368. This is what we're down to. We've aborted plan A. Imitate your parents. We just now want to provoke Ken into talking. Ken, out of spite, has vowed not to say another word. 201-200-9368. Just put him on. Put him on, little toot.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Andy. Listen, do you remember last week?
Who's this?
This is Martha. Do you remember last week when the show was closing and the music was playing and Andy said something to you and you said something? Ken said something to you and you said something and he went crazy. Do you remember what that catchphrase was?
You say it. You say it.
Tough titties. Remember? Did he say anything?
Okay, did you hang up on them? Oh. Ken is hanging up on people. That's how he keeps his vow of silence. Mr. First Amendment, hitting that censor cutoff button. We're at 201-200-9368. We're trying to provoke Ken into talking. Hi, you love the show. Hi, you love the show. Hi, you love the show.
Hey, I love the show.
Okay.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Am I going to win $50 if I get Ken to talk?
I don't think so. It's,
oh, okay. Hey.
Do you have a plan? Do you have some way to provoke him?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago you had a show where you kept saying Sig Heil for everything.
Yeah.
He really didn't like that.
Sig.
Okay, well, I'm on a cell phone. I can't hear you anymore. So.
He cut off my mic! No, ever since, you know, I...
Oh, cutting off his mic, that's like talking.
It is kind of like talking. It is. When you burn somebody's book, you're speaking pretty loudly.
I agree.
Well, what can you do?
Okay.
Someday the reign of tyranny will end.
Okay.
We're 201-200-9368. I guess Sig Heil won't do it anymore. Ken just laughs at that now. That was going to be our new catchphrase. Hi, you're on the air. You love the show.
I do indeed, yes.
Ken, you got to put the mic in front of your face or else it doesn't count. Can you provoke Ken into talking?
Sure. Here's some phone numbers out the phone book, and listeners should call these people and tell them that they've been instructed to call them.
Yes,
and
great idea.
We'll start with Jonic Kathleen. That's spelled J-O-N-I-C, Kathleen, and the number is 718.
Oh, he's cutting you off. But your idea is brilliant, sir. You should maybe invite people to look up numbers themselves.
Well, if he's just going to cut us off, then, I mean, you know.
No, you don't have to give the phone number. Everyone has a phone book.
Well, that's the whole point. If I give the number.
So then everyone would call the same person. Yeah. Why don't you say call the first name on page 410?
Because, well, he's not going to say anything then, is he?
Oh, yeah. All right, 201-200-9368. Carlo, you put him on. Carlo, is that someone that can imitate their parents? Little toot, you just put him through. Well, now this is a sad show for three reasons. The first reason, No one called imitate your parents. No one did that. Zero. We were zero for that. Number two, even this part, we're trying to provoke you into talking, isn't going very well. Even this sucks. And the third reason? No, we haven't! Carlo! Don't tell people we've abandoned somebody. Carlo, we will still do the parents.
No, it's not what you think.
Oh.
No, she was pointing out flaws.
We'll actually do it. We'll take that.
Line two. Line two.
Oh, you love the show.
Yeah, well.
Hey, listen, do you have a gun?
I might get one after this show.
I need a gun. I only need to borrow it for a few minutes, and I need one bullet.
For you or Ken?
Oh, it'll be for me. Okay, so do you have any ideas on how to provoke Ken into talking?
Right here, there's this big rumor that Ken's dad bankrolls the whole station. That's why he's station manager.
Yeah. You mean the naked dad?
Naked dad bankrolls the whole thing.
I know. I guess the worst part is he comes to those meetings naked, those annual stockholder meetings.
Ken's never had a job in his entire life.
Not a real job.
Not a real job ever. He's a trust fund baby.
Yeah, I know.
Can you
the world rises and sets out of his little butt.
Right. And you, of course, work off the sweat of your brow.
Yeah, work off the sweat on my brow.
By comparison.
No, seriously, about the gun. I really only need it for like a minute.
This is the lowest I've ever heard this show go.
Well, because
it was a bad idea. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't disagree with Ken. I disagree with Ken about that.
That it was a bad idea?
No, at first he said it was a good idea. That it was.
He committed to it. He committed to it.
But I think it was a bad idea.
Well, you never know which side of the
face. What were your other
face.
Ideas? What were your other ideas?
My other idea today?
Yeah. Other idea?
You had well,
one other one?
I was also going to suggest we all open up the comics page and act out some of the comics. I could be Dagwood. Carlo does a great Ziggy. That was our other idea.
That was it, I guess.
Hey, did you like the show like 3 weeks ago when you overheard Ken and me talking about the show?
That was the one I missed.
Oh, that was a classic. And by classic, I mean not quite as crappy as this one.
Why don't you remaster that one and play it again with better sound?
Yeah, it was pretty bad sound.
Why don't you tell some Hollywood stories?
Well, it was me and Carl Reiner. It was a day like any other day. We had no idea that soon both of our lives would be changed forever. Hold on, caller. Do we have any other calls? Anyone else? Anyone? Anyone?
I'm feeding you topics. I'm trying to give you something to talk about.
Okay. It's fascinating, and I'm glad you called. Don't go away. We're at 201-200-9368. We will talk to anyone else. No, fascinating. So what kind of work do you do? Anyone else. Call us. Is this the longest I've ever gone without a co-host?
What is Ken doing right now?
Well, you know, he's standing up because he can't. It hurts, apparently, when he sits. He has a back problem. He has one of those JFK back problems. Do you have a JFK brace on? He does. It's the brace that killed JFK because it kept him upright. A perfect target for that for shot number three.
I never knew that.
Yeah. You know, he's tapping his neck brace. That's the most interesting thing he's contributed to the show all day. 201-200-9368. How'd you like that earthquake story of his? Riveting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, what is his facial expression like right now? Is he angry? Is he amused? Does
yeah, he's kind of be. He's doing his bemused thing. And I'm glad you called, caller. You're feeding me questions. I'm not here alone. Anybody else on the phone? Yes! Hey, goodbye. Goodbye, kid. Bye. Just hang up on this kid. Bye. 201-200-9368. Hi, you love the show.
You can get Ken to talk. Why don't you threaten to curse on the air?
Well, we tried that, but his finger is hovered over the 7-second delay button.
Red button, huh?
Wait. I know what to do. Wait, no. I know what to do. This is perfect.
Curses for about 10 seconds.
I have a plan. I have a plan. Hold on. A plan is formulating in my head.
You could tackle.
I'll drop a dollar on the floor. You know how cheap he is. I'll drop a dollar on the floor. That's A. B, he bends down to pick up the dollar. You know what the flaw in my plan is? I just reviewed it for him. He apparently was listening. All right. We're at 201-209-368. We're trying to provoke Ken into talking. I guess there's nothing. I guess Ken's one of these people that just can't be offended. Can't be provoked. Because he lives in his own little world. Kenville. He's the mayor of Kenville. No one else really matters. Only the residents of Kenville matter. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I love the show.
Thanks very much. I don't know why or what show you're listening to.
I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yeah.
Can't believe I got
Can
through.
Can you provoke Ken? Can you do an impression of your parents?
No.
God, that was bad.
Too.
God, that was a stupid idea. All right.
Would Ken talk if he was interested in a show idea?
Yeah.
Superheroes. Squads of superheroes.
Squads of superheroes?
Led by Ken and Andy. Viewers, listeners, first off, Ken and Andy, pick superheroes or superpowers that they could have.
Oh, that's fascinating. Let me just interrupt you for 1 second. Any other calls? No one? Okay. Oh, no, go on. The superhero. Oh, yes, we do.
Ben.
Okay. Yes, okay. Hang up on him. Hang up quick. Okay, we're at 201-200-9368. Hey, is this a parent? This is a parent. Okay, Ken, will you come back from the dead for this?
Hello?
Wait, is this our guy on line two? Okay, first I have to invite Ken back from the dead. I can't do this alone. Are we on line? Can you do an impression of your parents? Okay, hang up on this joker. Are we back? Okay.
We're back.
Mark?
Mark, are you on the air with us?
Nah, this is Mike.
Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike,
yep.
You can do an impression of your old man.
No. Is Ken back?
I'm yes. back.
Oh, wait. I was just going to plead for you to come back.
Wait, Carla told me this is on line three.
Line two.
Oh, sorry, Mike. Wrong line.
Okay, bye. Right. Boy, that Mike's a great guy. How's line two? We have 5 minutes. Hi, is this Mark?
Yeah, Andy.
Mark, can you do an impression of your parents?
No, what I want to do is I want to do an impression of my wife's father.
Okay, that's his father-in-law. And who would you try to fool?
I want to fool my wife.
And ooh, that's good.
That's perfect. If you can go 60 seconds, I'm sending you $50.
Is that right?
Yes. Do we have your wife's phone number?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Is she at work?
No, she's home. I should be home. I'm expected home in about 5 minutes, and she expects me to pull up any minute.
Okay.
Okay, now why would her...
What is her father's name?
Her father's name is Tony.
Why would Tony be calling a radio station? Just give
Tony
us a reason.
Wouldn't.
Why would he? What reason would Tony have to brag about your wife? What's your wife's name?
No, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
He just bought a brand new house.
Yeah.
And he knows I'm very handy.
Yeah.
And we're going down to see him this weekend.
Okay.
And I want to see if I can convince her to tell me.
What's your
to
name?
Bring a screwdriver to fix like a ceiling fan. Or
perfect. Okay.
Or
perfect.
Something.
Good enough. What's her name?
Let's hear the impression of Tony right now.
Hello, Angela. It's Daddy. Is Mark home? Can you get him, please?
Perfect.
Okay.
That's it. But now you can't do that. We have to introduce you. We have to tell Angela that what's your name? The dad? What's dad's name?
Tony.
Tony.
We have to convince that Tony is on the air. Okay.
She may not go for it, but
if you can get her to go for it for 60 seconds, that's $50. You can take her out this. You can take her out this weekend.
She's in really bad shape this week.
Yeah.
This is probably the lowest point of our lives.
It is amazing how easy it is to get through. I have to tell you that.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. The high point of the show for me was being reminded repeatedly that my dad's dead. That's how bad things were. Here we go. We're calling Angela.
All right.
Okay. And we're going to introduce you as Tony. The Does Angela know about WFMU? Will she recognize our voices?
Not at all.
Now, don't talk, Tony, until we introduce you.
Hello?
Oh, hi. Is Angela there?
This is.
Angela, my name is Andy, and I'm here with my friend Ken, and we're calling from WFMU, and we have your father-in-law on the line.
Oh.
He is calling. He apparently is a new house, or he's building a house.
Yes.
And he wants to ask your husband for a little help around the house. Your husband apparently is very handy.
Yes.
And we thought we could help convince Mark. Is Mark home, by the way?
No, he's not.
Well, let's put Tony on. Tony wants to try to persuade Mark to help out around the new house. Tony, are you there?
Hello, Angela.
Dad?
Yes, Daddy. How you doing?
Who is this?
It's Daddy. Listen, I love these guys. I listen to them every week. But is Mark home? Is Mark home?
Who is this?
It's Daddy. Listen, Angela, tell Mark. Are you guys coming down this weekend?
Mark?
No. Is Mark home?
Mark.
Listen, Angela, tell. There's something wrong with the vibrating couch. And I need Mark to take a look at it. It's brand new, and it's not vibrating. There's a loose piece. So when you guys come down this weekend, tell him to bring his screwdriver. I want him to look at it, all right?
All right, I'm hanging up.
Wait, no, Angela, wait, what do you think? Tony seems sincere. He needs some help.
Who's that, Anthony?
Mark, what are you doing?
Mark. Hello, Mark. I'm afraid you didn't quite make that 60 seconds. Angela, Mark thought he could fool you for 60 seconds.
Honey, you just lost $50.
I won $50?
No, I'm afraid
you just lost $50.
The deal was, if he could fool you for a minute, you'd get $60.
No.
$50. You're too smart. You know your husband too well. This is great radio. But you know what's great, Angela? You know what you did give us? A little respite from the agony of the last hour. The show's been just painful. You're the high point of our hour. Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Angela.
You saved the radio show.
Yeah, you did. Thanks, Mark.
Love you. Be home in 5 minutes.
Okay, we'll all be there.
Andy, I've got a present for you now.
What?
You're never gonna guess what it is.
Somebody on the phone.
No, here it is.
What? Oh, thank you. Oh, it's the sweetest bomb there is. Oh, it's like medicine. Oh, thank you. Just listen to it. Listen to it, Carlo. Isn't it sweet? Ken, listen to it. Turn it up. The show is over. It's over. This is the best gift I've ever gotten. I love you, Ken. Even if it's not true, just let it play.
It's true, Andy.
I'm afraid to look at the clock. Just let it go. Loop it. Loop it for 20 minutes. I love this part.
Man.
Man, that was tough.
This is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. The Audio Kitchen is coming up.
That's the best we could do on such short notice.
Actually, this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. That was the train wreck 7 second delay episode, originally aired January 17th, 2001, and never rerun before, except for the time it was rerun about a year and a half ago. Andy will be back next week for a brand new live 7 second delay. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Radiovert with Nicole. Tonight, the exciting conclusion of Monday's Monk.
Thank you. In the nights that followed, Som Chai did as Tam said and kept the fires going, dragging wood to the charnel grounds so the flames and embers stayed hot. In return, each night he dreamed of Tam. They built a new life, the life Tam had always dreamed of and which he'd been a fool to walk out of. Each night of dreaming seemed to stretch into months of living together with Tam. And as the fires burned on, Som Chai began to dream of other people. Not in the manner of the random people who flickered absently in his dreams, but real people, like Tam. People whose bodies he had seen in passing when the Blues delivered them for their final rites. These people joined him and Tam in building a new life. A new Bangkok. One night, while snuggling with Tam as they watched another ghost story in their little apartment, Som Chai realized he finally had to ask. "It's the Nano," Tam said softly, as if speaking to a slow student in school. "The fire reactivates it. The heat and energy stimulates the Nano which once existed in our bodies." Som Chai nodded. While he'd never been as good a student as Tam, he knew of the tiny machines which stored information about every aspect of their host body. DNA strands, immune responses, individual memories. If what Tam was saying was correct, the Nano had survived the funeral pyres in the charnel grounds. "Wait," he said. "Does this mean the leftover Nano infected me too?" "Does that bother you?" Tam asked. "No." "A wise answer," she said as she snuggled closer.